Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What was it that the unjust steward learned in Jesus' parable that you heard on Sunday? Well, he learned the wisdom of turning one's attention toward one's Lord and toward the end of one's stewardship, the end of one's life even, forcing a person to focus his thoughts and his efforts, his time and his resources on what comes next, and on the importance of using the Lord's resources at your disposal for things that will last into the what comes next. Jesus made the same point in this evening's lesson from Luke chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus also turns the attention of his disciples away from the fear and the worries of this life to his kingdom and to their stewardship and to the end of their stewardship too, to the Master's coming, which will be unexpected when it happens. Unexpected. Unlike the unjust steward in Jesus' parable who was told that his stewardship was about to come to an end quickly, pushing him to act quickly in order to get ready for that end. Whereas we may still live on this earth for many decades, and yet the Lord instructs his stewards to watch and to live as if our stewardship may come to an end at any time. Do not fear, little flock, he says. That little phrase, little flock, is so comforting, isn't it? Because we are well aware that the flock of Christ is truly little. We see the littleness of it all the time. Not as little as just this congregation in Las Cruces, as if this were the only flock of Christ in the world. It's bigger than this. But it isn't all that big compared with the whole world, and it certainly isn't that big even when compared with the churches that bear the name Christian. We look at the megachurches and the flourishing churches around the world and we think they must be doing something right. We must be doing something wrong. But Jesus has always known his flock to be a little flock. He has always known his true believers in the world to be few. His flock was little then, and it's relatively little now. It always has been, in Old Testament times too. But sometimes we perceive its littleness more acutely as we do today, when it seems like practically the whole world has moved away from God, including many who still call themselves Christians. Little flock also reminds us of our relationship with Jesus. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He is ultimately in charge of everything, including how big or small a church is in this place or in another. Our job is simply to follow where the shepherd leads, to listen to his voice, to feed on the green pastures of his word and sacraments, and to lead godly lives here on earth, just as he did, because we're following in the footsteps of the shepherd who leads us. Do not fear, little flock. Don't be afraid, Jesus says to his little flock, of anything, of poverty, sickness, disease, enemies, evildoers. Don't be afraid that you won't have enough to get by. Don't be afraid that there will be nothing for you after this life. Why? Because Jesus says, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You heard in the first lesson when King David spoke or sang that psalm recorded in 1 Chronicles, all things belong to you, O Lord, yours is the kingdom. That's what we say in the Lord's Prayer too, for thine is the kingdom. And yet Jesus says, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's the little flock of Jesus that will inherit the kingdom, eternal life, and all the things in it, including God as King. It's a gift that Christ has earned for us and freely gives to us. It's yours already. We just can't see it yet. And so sometimes we worry about this kingdom here below, this earthly life, too much. We focus on it because it's the one we can see. But Jesus points us to that better kingdom that our Father has given to us, to focus on it with the eyes of faith and to yearn for it, not to close our eyes to this earth, but to look through it, past it, to the kingdom that our God is giving to us. So sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When Jesus says, sell what you have, we understand from the context of these verses and the rest of Scripture, he isn't commanding any who would follow him to dispossess themselves of everything they own. He isn't saying, sell everything that has your name on it and live without anything. It isn't that kind of a literal command. It's a command to change your focus and your goal in life and to live in line with the goal he sets for you. Is this earthly kingdom your focus, what's in the middle for you? Then it makes sense to acquire more and more wealth, to arrange your life around making a beautiful, happy life here on earth, so that everything else in your life revolves around that goal of a happy earthly life. You may even be able to make your religion revolve around that goal, so that going to church is a part of your life, part of what helps you make a happy life here, but not the goal. But Jesus would have you look at things entirely differently. He would have you make his kingdom your focus and your goal, the one that your Father has been pleased to give you, so that everything else revolves around preparing for a happy life there. If you do that, if you change your focus, then do you need that extra stuff you have to fulfill that goal? Or could you sell it and give that money to some needy person or people? Do you need all the extra time that you have that you don't know what to do with? Or could you invest some of that time in studying God's Word, or the confessions of the church, or in reaching out to someone to invite them to church, or in doing some act of kindness for a fellow Christian, or even for a stranger? That's storing up treasures in heaven, things that will last, deeds that your Father will treasure forever. And the more you treasure those things that last, the more you'll order your life around piling up those things for eternal life. So the message tonight, like the message on Sunday, is quite simple. Recognize God as the owner of all things. Recognize him also as your Father, who has given you all things, even his own kingdom. And then live and behave as those who recognize that you are servants and stewards of the Lord, who has commanded you to live with a heavenly kingdom-focused life. As Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.